was on December 26th, the year 2000. And if the internet is correct, it was a Tuesday. But even though I'm not sure exactly how trusted it was a Tuesday, I know it was nighttime. I was sitting alone and I was in my dad's office at my parents' house, and I celebrated Easter. And my world has never been the same since that moment. So it was over winter break of my senior year of college. And at that point in my life, I had been attending an ecumenical, meaning just multiple denominations, campus ministry group at Kent State University, where I went to college. And I had one semester left before finishing my bachelor's degree with a major in religious studies. And at that time, I was just like the apostles. In our gospel reading from the 24th chapter of St. Luke. So when I began attending the campus ministry group, at that time, back in the spring of the year 2000, I was a member of a Unitarian Universalist church in Kent. And it was a very nice church. The minister was amazing. She gave very inspiring and thought-provoking sermons. And if you're not familiar with Unitarian Universalist Church, I'm going to give you a very, very basic summary of what they are about. So they believe in God, but they don't necessarily define God in any one specific way. And they believe that all humanity is loved and saved by God, regardless of a person's beliefs or even a person's lack of beliefs. And they do not believe in the Holy Trinity. So they do not believe that Jesus is God. They don't have to. So Jesus can be an absolutely amazing man, but he was not God. Now, early in the fall semester of my senior year, I started to feel a little unfulfilled at the Unitarian Universalist Church, and I couldn't exactly put my finger on the reason why. But regardless, I was just like the apostles in the gospel. Because the words spoken by the women who had gone to Jesus' tomb, the words about the most unexpected thing ever, the words that Jesus was not in his tomb, that he was not dead, that he had been resurrected and was alive, those words seemed like an idle tale to me. And I did not believe them. When a person dies, a person is dead. And as great of a person as Jesus was, and I truly believe that he was great, he had still died, end of story. A few months later, towards the end of my fall semester, I decided to leave the Unitarian Universalist Church. And the people who I met there were fine, but there was just something missing. And so I began my journey of church shopping. And I didn't really know what I believed, so the matters of theology and doctrine did not really put too much emphasis on where I decided to go, which churches I should try. So I visited a Methodist church, and I visited a Presbyterian church, and I visited a UCC church, and finally, I visited a Lutheran church and ELCA church. And I wasn't sure if I would agree with all of their beliefs and practices, but I made up my mind to continue going there because I like the pastor service. And I like that the late service didn't start until 11 a.m. And I started to become more intrigued by Jesus, by his words and his actions as they're conveyed in the gospel accounts. And I thought, you know, this would be a good thing for me if I tried to model my life after this amazing man. In a way, I become kind of like the women in our gospel story today, when they went to the tomb where Jesus' body had been laid to rest, so that they could prepare his body with proper burial spices. I was like the women because I was convinced that no greater man had ever walked the face of the earth. In my religious studies courses in college, I read about the Buddha and the Prophet Muhammad and some of the Hindu theologians, as well as various great rabbis who have lived throughout the centuries. And as great as those individuals were, and there were things about each of them that I thought were good and true, in my mind, there was still no greater person than Jesus. And so I was like the women who went to Jesus' tomb on Easter morning, because I would have also wanted to do everything that I could have done to honor Jesus following his death, just as I decided to try to honor him with the way that I lived my life. But I still believed that Jesus was dead. I don't think we should fault the women for going to Jesus' tomb and for believing that he was dead. In fact, I think that the angels at the empty tomb were kind of snotty to the women. You know, why do you look for the living among the dead? Well, they looked for Jesus there because Jesus had been crucified. And he had died. And his dead body had been laid in that very tomb. So they went where they believed his body would still be. But they went there with a deep sense of reverence for their deceased Lord. And so I was like the women, because I loved Jesus, but I still expected to find him in the tomb. But without my expecting it, I celebrated my first Easter on a Tuesday night on December 26, 2000. As I said earlier, I was sitting alone in my dad's home office, and I was reading a book that I had received for Christmas that I have since lent out to somebody years ago and never returned to me, called The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Life of Jesus Christ. And in that moment, in a moment that I can only explain as the work of the Holy Spirit, as I read the words on the page, I experienced a revelation. Jesus was not just the most amazing man who had ever walked the earth. Jesus was actually God. Jesus had been resurrected. The tomb had been empty. Jesus is alive. And for the first time in my life, those words were not an idle tale. And I did believe them. At that very moment, the story of Easter became very real to me, and my life was changed forever. I was like the women who had encountered the angels, or I was like Peter who dared to run back to the tomb and to stoop inside and to only see the linen cloths there without Jesus' body wrapped in them. And I was amazed at what had happened. Now, to be clear, I had heard the Easter story before December 26, 2000. But I had never experienced it and felt it like I did that day. Now, I don't know where all of you are at today concerning what you believe about Jesus. So maybe you are like I was. Maybe you were like the apostles in our gospel story. Maybe Jesus isn't really alive to you. And that's okay. I mean, I would rather believe that he's alive. But it's okay because I believe that the Holy Spirit is working in your life and that you're on God's timeline and not the timeline that maybe I would choose. Maybe you're like the women who went to the tomb. Maybe you greatly respect Jesus as a teacher, as a healer, as someone who wanted people to know about God's love. But maybe you still expected to find Jesus lying in the tomb. And that's okay, for all the reasons I've already mentioned. Maybe you're hearing the Easter story for the first time. Hearing and feeling it, really, for the first time right now. Maybe the Holy Spirit is sending angels and sending messengers, sending people to you right now who want to tell you that Jesus is not dead, that just like he had predicted, like he had told them, he has been raised from the dead. Maybe the Holy Spirit is revealing that to you today. And if so, that is amazing, and I promise you, your life will never be the same. Maybe you're like me, the person who I am right now, the person who has heard the Easter story numerous times, the person who is far removed from the thrill and the awe of the moment when you first believed. And that's okay. I pray that you and I are inspired by the Holy Spirit anew, that we are to open our hearts and let the amazing love of God in, and then we are moved to share that love with others. No matter where you are at in your faith journey, I'm just thankful that you're here today. I'm thankful because God's grace has changed my life, and I know that God loves you exactly where you are.